KERA-FM, Dallas.
Yes, with a blaze of glory, the daffodil-colored Angus prune tune rings to the silver microphone the dazzling talents of Peacock Blue Timbrook Taylor, Dusky John Cleese, Brown-headed David Hatch, Rose-tinted Joe Kendall, and Chocolate-covered Bill Oddie. And here is the golden voice of the nation's heartthrob, John Otto Cleese.
It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Again.
Music for school. This is the program that gives children a chance to make themselves familiar with the language of musicians.
You're bloody...
And now meet the orchestra.
Hello, orchestra.
Hello, children.
Last week, we...
First, do you remember this tune?
The moon is a-beaming. Beam, 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 and go...
You do? Then you're far too old to be listening to this rubbish.
Last week, you'll remember, Uncle John told you what to do with your instruments. And this week, I'll tell you how to play them. Now, when I go...
First,
I give up.
Good. First, as a special treat, we have with us the famous composer and conductor, Herr Lacker, who is, of course... also the leader and father of several of the Herr Lacker family singers. Let's join him as he's putting the finishing touches to his latest work, the Rhubarb Cantata. See how much effort and labor goes into every single note. Listen as he tests out the musical abilities of his children.
Right, let's get in tune.
Good,
now.
Daddy.
What is it, Fritz?
I just swallowed your copy of Handel's Messiah.
Ha! I knew you had music in you. Here, Otto, put this light bulb in your mouth whilst I plug your fingers into the electric socket. Now switch on. Has it lit up?
No.
It's no good, you'll never be a conductor.
I'll be still in tune.
Good. Let's see what you've picked up since last week. Oh, yes, very nice. Tell her to wait outside. Right? Good. Right, now you all remember what a clef is?
Yes.
Well, see for now what this is. Listen. It's a clef hanger ending. Still in tune? Josephine, you're flat. You're not in tune either. Again.
And now it is time to meet the orchestra. When a lot of people get together to make music, there are two things that keep them going.
Beer and money.
Of course, quite a few people work in a band like this, and quite a few don't. So first, let's just run over some of the musicians. Now, here's Brian. He's on bass. Here's Donald. He's on drums. Here's Derek. He's on clarinet, and here's Kenneth. He's on gin and tonic. There's Cedric, playing the guitar. Brian, playing the trombone. And David. Playing the fool. Well, there they are, the musicians and their instruments. Don't forget, for best results, keep them well oiled.
Finally, it's story time, when each week we tell you a story with musical symbols and several other instruments. And today, you can help me make up the story.
Oh, goody.
It's all about a wicked baron.
Yeah, boring.
And a lovely young fairy.
Oh, what's his name?
A lovely... a lovely young fairy princess.
Yeah.
Now, let's hear the music for the wicked baron. And here's the lovely young princess. There she is. And listen, here comes a handsome young prince. live next door to each other. The princess was a lady of purity and innocence.
How wet.
The prince had great charm.
Charming.
And the baron was wickedly handsome.
Ah, yeah, baby.
The princess was very lonely and very bored. She never had much on.
Except her black silk bra.
She was really rather sad. She used to think, if only someone would love me for my innocence, and not just for my trombone playing. At last, one day, the handsome prince came to the castle and met the princess.
Oh, I bet she was tickled.
Alas, cried the princess. My life is so empty and barren.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's also so beautiful, said the prince. Your eyes are like the eyes of a gentle little doe. Overcome with emotion, the prince turned and ran
his ice cold fingers up and down her lovely spine.
No. Now let's have that one again.
She said. No. Did you all feel those fingers?
That's enough,
she said.
Oh dear. The prince. The princess. Look, you're messing up my. And you ruined my.
She said.
Oh, I'll you for this.
Look, when does the wicked baron come in?
Just about now.
Hey!
Thank you very much. Come. You wanted to see me, sir?
Ah, yes. Come and sit down on this chair with this nice, new, comfortable, bright green cushion.
Thank you very much, sir. I do beg your pardon.
I call it a cushy poop, you see. I've only just got it. Most humiliating. Isn't it humiliating?
Yes, sir.
Very humiliating indeed, isn't it? By Jove, it's humiliating. Sit down it again.
Well, I'd rather
not. No. Go on, sit down again. Go on.
All right.
Isn't that humiliating? And again. Go on. All right. That's enough. Don't overdo it. Now, what do you want?
You sent for me, sir.
Oh, yes. What was your name again?
Watkins, sir.
Oh, yes. I better write it down, just in case I forget. Have you a pen I can borrow?
Oh, yes, sir.
My word, what a nice pen. Oh, dear, I seem to have crushed it under my heel. Never mind, you can have this one.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Open it up and have a look at it.
Well, I'd rather not.
Nonsense, go on, open it up. Oh, no, that surprised you, didn't it?
Very surprising.
It's an exploding pen, you see. Oh. well, wrap this handkerchief round, it'll soon stop. Now then, what do you want?
You sent for me, sir.
So I did. I wonder why. Probably just to humiliate you, I expect.
Was it about the rise I asked?
Ah, that was it. Oh, yes, that's it. Oh. As from April the 4th, you will have an increase in salary of £1,000 a year. How about that?
Oh, sir, I don't know what.
No, but seriously, Watkins, you're fired.
But why?
Well, partly because we're having to cut down on staff, and partly because I enjoy it. No, that's an exaggeration. It's purely because I enjoy it. Now, this is where we say goodbye. What was your name again?
Watkins, sir.
Oh, and there is one other little thing. As from last year, all my employees leaving the firm have to pay back all the wages they've earned. In your case, that would be £4,997, but let's just call it around 75 million.
You can't do this to me.
Yes, I can.
But no, I've had enough. I'm going to say my piece. You can listen or lump it. 25 years I've worked for your lousy firm. 25 years I've sweated over my loom. And I have my rights, you know. Sweaty labour, that's what they call it. And you can't get away with it. You can't write rough shot over all my hopes and dreams. Does the trade union movement mean nothing to you today? Is this the new Jerusalem? Is this the green and pleasant land we have striven for?
You've got egg on your chin.
So
have I, sir? No. Well, run along now. I've finished with you.
Yes, yes, thank you, sir.
Jolly good. Oh, and if you see Watkins outside, tell him I want to see him, will you?
Now, here is a news flash introduced by Tim Brooke Taylor.
The House of Commons closed for the winter recess today. Throughout the afternoon, parents were arriving to collect MPs and take them home for the holidays.
Can't do what?
All that
it's
disgusting. We want a nice, healthy song about hobbies or pets or something.
Oh, very well. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ba, 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 ba. Your eyes are brown and your hair is curly. Ba, 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 ba. Your nose is pink and you're soft and furry. Ba, for a girl, I'm in love with a sheep. Let's hear you now. Ba, 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 ba. Ba, 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 ba. Hey, wild thing, look, I'm on the hunt. Ba, 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 ba. I love your legs, both back and front. With you. You're driving me wild with the way you move. Move that thing. Be my honeybee, so all the cats can see. I'm a wolf who run real quick. Come on, hold me tight.
And now, episode 6 of our adventure serial, The Curse of the Flying Wombat, or Who Put the Tang in Lemon Meringue?
Last week, we left our hero, Tim Brown Windsor, in, where was it?
Hong Kong?
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Well, does anyone remember?
Anyone remember? Does anyone
remember where we finished?
I remember!
Yes. A particularly scruffy member of the studio audience, appalling little man, does seem to remember where we got to last week, and he's climbing up onto the stage now. How do you do?
I'm a very great honour to be here, sir, and if I don't win a thing, I don't mind if I enjoy myself.
Yes, well... It's not often we get the chance to meet an ugly little weevil like you. You don't mind my calling you an ugly little weevil,
not
do you?
A bit, sir, not
no,
a bit,
good,
no,
good, because
I'd
that's what you
it,
are.
Yes.
You're ugly, 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 ugly.
Yeah. Shall I start?
Yes.
Right, the story so far. Tim Brown, Windsor and his friends are about to set sail for Aberdeen in search of the green-eyed little yellow dock, pursued by Casey O'Sullivan and Masha Wilkins. And anyway, Tim's fiancée, Fiona Rabbit Vacuum, who disguised as Jim Ladd, a cabin boy, and disguised as abducted by somebody, and so the others went back to get her again. And then there's Lady Constance and Old Hatch and Captain Cleese and Old Peapod and Grimling and everybody and all doing the most extraordinary things because he wanted to get Jim Ladd back and everything. And things like that.
Very good. You can go away now.
Thank you very much. Can I have my box?
No, no. Before you go, let's all give you a great big hand for being such an ugly little weevil.
Thank you.
No, no, no. On second thoughts, let's all give me a great big hand for being such a handsome brute.
So, Fiona Rabbit Vacuum has been carried off by some mysterious villain. Who was he? Where did he take her? What did he do with her?
Took one look at her and brought her straight back.
Very good.
Next morning, after breakfasting on cucumbers and radishes, we set sail with a fair wind.
Three days later, Captain Cleese sits below decks, writing in his log.
Well, they might have given him a cabin.
They did. It was a log cabin. Yeah.
February the 18th of August. How time flies. This morning, Mr. Hatch brought up my cocoa at 8 o'clock. Serve him right for drinking it at 7:30.
Good morning, Captain. I brought up your cocoa.
It's all right. I've already told them. Now, what were you going to say?
It's very rough, sir.
Yes, but we still get paid for doing it. Mind you, the sea's pretty rough, too. In fact, I feel quite seasick. Where are the crew?
They're up on the deck, heaving too.
My...
Up on deck, there was great excitement.
Oh.
Hooray.
For the lookout had sighted a school of whales.
We'll keep our way from here, right here.
Be that as it may, I must pop below for a second. It probably won't be as good as the first, but here goes.
Hello, darling. Fancy meeting you.
Great powers, I know that voice.
Yes, darling. It's me, Maisie Robinson.
Not the international temptress.
The same. Or at least very similar.
Of course, I recognize you now. The beard had me fooled for a moment. When did you shave it off?
Oh, Tim. Tim, that's still the same old joker and the same old joke. All these years and you still haven't changed.
Well, it's a nice shirt.
Do you remember when you first met me?
Of course, you were breeding those large rabbit-like creatures.
Yes, it was air-raising.
Maisie! Maisie, we're alone, but if anyone comes in, they'd get the wrong impression.
But we're not doing anything.
That's what's wrong.
All right, let me tempt you.
No, no, seriously, I'm changed. I'm no longer attracted by loose women. I'm wearing a ring and you know what that means?
Not.
Yes.
But you used to be so masculine.
That's not what it means.
Very well, then. Very well, then. Hold my hand.
No, I don't want to.
Take me in your arms.
There's no point.
Kiss me.
Means nothing.
Undress me.
That's more like it.
There's someone coming.
Damn.
It's all right. I shall disguise myself in this false red nose.
I say, it's rather brightly colored, isn't it?
Yes, but all my boyfriends find it very attractive.
You don't mean...
Yes, my lovers like a red nose. Look through the door.
I can't, it's made of wood. But I know those footsteps. It's my fiancée, Fiona Rabbit Vacuum.
Quick, I must change my accent.
Too late.
Timothy, what are you doing with that strange man?
It's a woman.
I thought it was a strange man.
Who are you calling strange?
We would like to mention at this point that Miss Kendall is playing both Maisie Robinson and Fiona Rabbit Vacuum. See if you can spot which is which.
I thought it was a strange man.
Who are you calling strange?
Did you spot the difference? To help you...
Whenever Miss Kendall is playing Maisie Robinson, she has on her false red nose. And when she's playing Fiona Rabbit Vacuum, she has on her real red nose. Next week, we shall be having another woman in to help out. But we're rather short of false noses.
You don't mean...
Yes, I want some red noses for a new lady. Well, do carry on.
You brazen Abby.
Oh, don't quarrel.
You scholar woman.
Please, Fiona, amazing.
You slut.
Who are you calling a slut? I'm not quite sure.
Who's that?
Who's that? Who's that? Ah, Pimmelfe.
Auntie.
We would like to mention at this point that Mr. Brooke Taylor is playing both Tim Brown Windsor and Tim Brown Windsor's auntie, Lady Constance de Coverlet. Let's hear those lines again.
Ah, Pimmelfe.
Auntie.
Lady Constance.
Fiona Rabbit Vacuum.
Who is this?
It's my auntie.
Timothy.
Yes?
I'm Maisie Rabbit Robinson.
No, you're Fiona Robin Vacuum.
Timothy.
Timothy.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Great news, Lady Constance. Your identical twin sister is arriving in the next episode.
For a fortnight or less, the Flying Wombat sailed the watery main. We passed the time fishing, and the captain caught a pair of boots.
Look, two nice soles.
Don't touch them, sir.
Why not?
They might be electric heels.
On Wednesday, we threw several lines over the side. On Thursday, the ship was becalmed.
Oh, it's so hot and sultry.
Water! Water!
Water?
Water day for a daydream.
Captain, please help me up the stairs. I'm covered in monkey poo bite.
Oh, Lady Constance, so you're coming up to scratch.
Sir, all these years, and I've never seen anything like this, sir.
How old are you, Grimling?
108, sir.
Is that a fact?
No, it's a lie. Oh, look, sir, the sea is full of horrible, slimy creatures twisting and turning.
That's only Lady Constance gone for a quick dip.
And the waters are turning dank and stagnant. And the crew, they're turning dank and stagnant. And the sky a deep, lurid, and the sky a deep, lurid, horrible blue.
Yes, and the sun hanging in the rigging like a round red ball.
No, that's my balloon, sir.
But suddenly there came a noise from the crow's nest.
A breeze at last. I feel like a new man.
How about me, Ducky?
Oh, we haven't had a puff for weeks.
Sir, the clouds, he's getting nearer and darker and huger. Oh, sir.
He's raving again.
No, no, it's Hurricane Flossie.
Not my identical twin sister.
Quick, hand me that mirror.
Why, Captain?
I need a moment to reflect. By Jove, I'm a handsome brute.
The hurricane, it's upon us.
All hands to the pumps. Man the boats, women and children first.
Off to you, auntie.
Quick, open the bed.
Will the Flying Wombat go to the bottom?
It can't sing much lower.
Will they ever get the green eye of the little yellow dog?
Have you joined the Angus Prune Fan Club yet?
What will happen next week?
Aren't I a handsome brute?
You won't miss next week's episode, will you?
No, not a bit.
Exotic rhythm of the Angus Prune tune. Exotic rhythm. We close this edition of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, which was written this week by Graham Garden and Bill Oddie, with further material by Peter Hutchins and Peter and David Lund. The gaily coloured voices you heard belong to Tim Brooke Taylor, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bill Oddie, who also wrote the songs. At this point, we would like to deny the vicious rumour now circulating about our producer, Humphrey Barclay. But I'm afraid we can't.
So, there it is until the same time again next week when you'll hear John Otto Cleese say...
It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Again.
My name is
provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Support. Public Radio.
That to the height of this great argument, I may assert eternal providence and justify the ways of God to men.
On the Blockbuster this Saturday from 7 in the morning till 6 at night, Restoration, Rakes, and Revolution. Taking the cue from one of our most popular blockbusters, The Age of Reason, we present the late 17th century, roughly 1660 to roughly 1700. The poetry of Dryden and Milton, the plays of Moliere and Congreve, the music of Lully, Purcell, and Corelli. The Blockbuster this Saturday, Restoration, Rakes, and Revolution, from KERA-FM, Dallas.